Thanks for listening to the Best of Outkick the Coverage podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning from 6 to 9 a.m. Eastern, 3 to 6 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for Outkick the Coverage at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every morning on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
This is the Best of Outkick the Coverage with Clay Travis on Fox Sports Radio.
You went into the postseason. Gotten closer and closer, it feels like, to the Super Bowl. What does it feel like? We're joined now by Dak Prescott, Dallas Cowboy quarterback, to be here in Atlanta sitting around watching these two teams play.
Yeah, as you said, just being having a chance of getting closer this year than I had in the past, or I guess you can say it makes being here a little bit more more saltier, I guess you can say.
Yeah.
Not that excited in the past. Oh, it's cool. It's this activity. It's ready to roll. Nothing but great things. It is. And the Super Bowl deserves that. The week deserves that. But when you know you're as close as you were, the team that you had, the players that you had, you don't know how often you get those chances and you get that right group of guys that's going to make that right push. So to be sitting here and not playing in this game this year, particularly with the team and the guys we had, doesn't feel good.
Where were you when you heard you were getting Amari Cooper, and what was your immediate reaction?
Yeah, so we're coming on the plane, headed back from Washington, I think going into the bye week. And we just visited the Capitol and just done all those great things up there in Washington after a loss, sitting at 3-5. Or excuse me, at that time, I guess we wouldn't have been 3-5. We'd have just been 3-4.
Yep.
And just knowing that
you're about to play Monday Night Football against the Titans.
And that was in the potential of getting a guy like that, Amari, or these other guys. And just to hear that news, knowing that, man, I played against the guy in college, so yeah. I knew what he could do. The moment I heard it, I was excited. Couldn't wait to throw a ball to him and just figure out, hey, why did they give him to us? I mean, that was a
– For a first-round pick, you think you got a steal?
We won, 100%. We won 10 out of 10 in that deal. Got the type of guy we got, the player we got. We'll do it over and over.
What's Jerry Jones like?
A good dude. I mean, I don't think you'll find anybody within the Cowboys organization that dislikes Jerry Jones or doesn't like working for Jerry Jones. Just his the way he goes about his business, the way he's a professional to the guys and to the people, to the women that work for him, second to none. And I know everybody in the Cowboys organization, especially myself, we're thankful to be able to have an owner like we do.
You played at Mississippi State, had a lot of success at Mississippi State. I know you're still a fan.
Yeah.
Are you rooting now for Dan Mullen at Florida too? How do you balance out your SEC allegiances now?
Yeah, you're putting me on the spot here. I hope Mississippi State fans don't take this personal, but 100% I'm rooting for Dan Mullen. Dan and everything he did, and the type of guy and the coach he is the whole reason I went to Mississippi State. Was able to go to Mississippi State and fall in love with the environment, the campus, and everything that it entailed involved. But I wouldn't have been there if it wasn't for Dan Mullen. So now when Dan Mullen moves on, it's not any type of I'm mad or upset at him or any type of anything like that. It's 100% support. Wish him the best. Know what he's going to do over there. Can't wait to see him turn that program around. And he's excited for him.
What do you think your life would be like if Dan Mullen hadn't recruited you to Starkville?
Yeah, actually, I'm not sure at all. I know for a fact I wouldn't be the player I am today. Even being recruited and having offers from LSU, TCU, something that drew me into Mississippi State and into Dan Mullen was just his genuineness and his realness. One of the things I'll never forget and the whole reason I went is Dan Mullen said, I'll put you on the field when you're ready to play. You have other teams at that time saying, oh, you're going to play as a freshman. You're going to do this. You're going to do that. When Coach Mullen looks at you in the face and said, I don't care if it's 3 years in. You're not playing until you're ready. You know there's somebody that's telling you the truth. And simple as that. He didn't put me on the field and didn't let me play until I knew everything I was doing mentally and ahead of the game. And without him being able to develop me, teach me the game, I have no idea. I doubt I'd be right here talking to you.
We're talking to Dak Prescott. What's it like to be the starting quarterback for the Dallas Cowboys and be in Dallas?
Yeah, it's a blessing. Simple as that. I grew up a Dallas Cowboy fan. We're talking America's team. We're talking the greatest fan base there is. You go anywhere in the country or anywhere in the world, excuse me, somebody's going to know Dallas Cowboys. You're going to see a star. I'm so thankful and blessed to have the platform. Simple as that, the platform to be able to reach out in effect and tell my story and just to be able to have that impact on people is a blessing in itself. But when you play for the best team there is, the best fan base, a great organization like we do, I'm just thankful.
Who are you here with today at the Super Bowl?
Yeah, I mean, I'm here with my agents for the most part. One of my best friends, Jacoby, just came down, as I said, just to enjoy all of this radio row. Wish I was playing, but it's all good. That'll happen in a couple years.
How long does it take to get over a playoff loss? So I know it's tough to lose in the NFL, period, but you got to be able to put it behind you because you have a week. But when your season comes to a close, you're sitting there in the Coliseum, ton of Cowboys fans
right there.
And it's over. How long does it take to be like, man, this campaign, this season is finished? How long does that pain last?
I mean, that pain's going to last. I mean, I think it honestly is going to last until at least till the game, this game's over with. because you know you're that close to playing in this game, to having that chance. As I talk about the team we had, the men that we had, it doesn't sit easy. And so it's going to at least last until the Super Bowl and probably a week or so after that. But for me, it's not really until I dive back into next season and I get going, getting my body, getting everything mentally and physically, spiritually right to go next season is when I'm just like, hey, that happened. It's over with. I learned.
Do you have a rooting interest at all? The Cowboys get eliminated from the playoffs. Is there anybody you were rooting for, quarterbacks, any players? Is there a team? Do you care who wins between the Rams and the Patriots from your perspective?
Nah, not necessarily. I don't care necessarily who wins this game. I will say I wanted Drew to win, Drew Brees, to win that NFC Championship game. Really just my relationship with him, the respect I have for him, the player he is, the career that he's been able to put together, even with all the adversity and everything. But
you grew up in Louisiana. Drew Brees, the way that the Saints lost. Mm-hmm. One, what has Drew Brees meant for the state of Louisiana? Two, can you imagine losing on a call that was missed that badly?
Yeah, I could not imagine that. Get almost chills when you say that. To think that, to put myself in that position, feel sickening, obviously, for the league. Just, I mean, everybody knows what's happened. Everybody knows what it wasn't right or whatever it is. But just to be the Saints, those guys, yeah, I mean, I couldn't imagine. Just knowing Drew, knowing how great of a year he had, for it all to come down to there. I mean, that's a chip shot. It's a game-winning field goal that was taken away, and now they're not playing in this game tomorrow, and I couldn't imagine it.
Cole Beasley tweeted that he wasn't targeted enough. Have you talked to Cole since then? I know nowadays it's funny on social media because you guys had Dez Bryant and everybody. The stories that get created sometimes on social media are wild. Right. Have you talked to Cole since then?
Yeah, we've talked a couple times. You just said it. The stories and the way social media can catch fire and just take off and go in its own direction, right or wrong or whatever it may be, is remarkable in itself. But yeah, I mean, obviously I was aware and saw what Cole did, so I made sure I targeted him one more time and called him and figured everything out. So, no, Cole's great. Me and Cole have had an amazing relationship ever since I've been a Cowboy and been drafted. So, no, everything's smooth.
You're here now to tell us about getting a good night's sleep, right?
Right, 100%. And I give a lot of credit, honestly, to Sleep Number and to for this season that I had. We talk about getting Amari Cooper at 3-5. I tell a quick story. We're literally at 3-5. My agent's telling me, hey, we're working with Sleep Number. They wanted to give you this bed, this and that. I'm like, hey, I've got a great bed. I don't need it. I'm fine. And he finally talks. No, this. I mean, we're talking the Sleep Number 360, the best there is right now. Let's go. Let's ride over there to the store and check it out. Go over there and check it out. And hey, we win 9 of the next 10 games. So.
So you're giving up Sleep Comfort all the credit.
I'm giving them a lot of credit, honestly. Just in everything everything the Sleep Number bed does is just remarkable. Simply just being able to tell me my scores, telling me how restful I am, the bed transitioning and working around my body as I move throughout the night is really, really, truly made a difference.
What do you want the Cowboys to do in this offseason to be better for next season?
Yeah, I mean, as long as we're moving forward and we're just trying to get progressive in everything that we're doing, whether it's obviously it's some coaching changes that we've done, whether it's adding these plays or whatever it is, as long as we're just progressing each and every day, we're going to give ourselves a chance.
Does Jason Garrett, do you expect him to be even more involved in the offense and play calling and everything else? How do you anticipate the offense will change?
Yeah, you know, I'm not really sure. I think that's something that will be discussed and go into talks when you decide who your offensive coordinator is. If we go the route of staying with the Kellen Moore or another coach or whatever it is, or if you bring in somebody else, just on the simple thing, I think it needs to be discussed. Is this move happening for these reasons, for that reasons? But excited for whatever direction we're going in. As I said, I know it's going to make us better.
Hey. Enjoyed it. Dak Prescott, Dallas Cowboy quarterback. Hope next year you can make a run. Be pretty fun.
Be sure to catch live editions of Outkick the Coverage with Clay Travis weekdays at 6 a.m. Eastern, 3 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
We have got a guy who's sitting down with us now here soon who has been through a lot of these different games over the years. For 53 years, he has been working as the now L.A. Ram equipment manager. Super Bowl 53 also going on. Do you remember the first Super Bowl?
Vaguely.
Yeah. We're talking with Chip Rank. 53 years. This is a pretty amazing story to be associated with the NFL and to have spent the time as you have. How nervous do you think you'll be by kickoff here? Or have you seen so many games before you don't get that nervous?
Well, you know, you don't really get real nervous. You're just kind of excited about the whole thing.
Yeah.
Anxious to see how they're going to do.
You've moved around with the Rams from one city to another city and all those different places in between. What are some of your favorite memories over 53 years? And we're talking with Chip Rank, legendary equipment manager in the NFL who has spent over 53 years with the Rams.
Probably, you know, a long time we tried to wash all their uniforms. We didn't really have a lot of powders back then, and most of it was Fab or Cheer. I would just smell the uniform, see if they needed it to get it. If they didn't smell bad, I'd just kind of like fold them up and put them back on the locker, let them have it.
You ever travel and realize, uh-oh, we forgot some of the uniforms or some of the equipment? You ever have one of those uh-oh moments when you're on the road?
Well, you know, we always do, and you just try to make do with what you can.
What's the most difficult make do you've ever had?
Well, the quarterback, Mr. Brocklin, he always confided in me that the pants was just too tight.
Yeah.
So when I'd wash them, I put a softball down there, and so when it dried, it would give him a little room. So he was happy with that.
Yeah.
That was all good. My arm is killing me. But other than that, not really a whole lot. Oh, God.
Clay,
we're talking.
Your friends at Lock It In.
Oh, my God.
Say hello.
Clay. You just faked a heart attack live on the air with me. I honestly had no idea. You guys got me. I'm like, I had no idea what to do.
So that was good.
Oh, that is unbelievable. Somebody's on the phone line for us right now. I literally thought you just died on the air, and I was like, well, this is going to be tough to explain. Do I go to break? I don't know what I do when somebody dies.
Oh, my God, you should have saw the look on Clay's face.
I didn't see any CPR coming, so I didn't want to.
You're not a good-looking girl. I didn't want to give you mouth-to-mouth. Who do we have on? I literally thought he died, and I was like, man, this is probably going to go viral on the positive side.
And you weren't even going to help him? What's wrong with
what's
you?
What's the matter, Travis?
I don't know. I don't know what I was supposed to do. Like,
supposed to do a three-letter CPR.
Yeah, I don't know CPR. That was unbelievable.
We have Rachel Bonetta and
Cousin Sal on the line. You guys actually woke up
on the line
at 5 a.m. on the West Coast just to set me up for this.
3 a.m.
About 2:45, we were up prepping for this. But let it all work out.
Way to go, Sal.
What were you hoping that I was going to do? Were you hoping I was going to go mouth-to-mouth there?
Yeah.
I want to see my reaction because I was like, I don't know what to do.
You can still do it if you want.
No. We can cut it off right about there.
I think the best part of all of this was we were listening to you for the last 5 minutes before you even went on with Chip, and you were talking about how phenomenal you think Sal and I are. Oh, so sweet.
Have you changed your opinion?
Oh, that was mic'd up, and you guys could hear it? They had the mic turned on?
Yeah,
that is a dangerous thing when you get mic'd up and you don't know what people are going to see. Obviously, I was lying. This is pretty good, too, by the way. I texted you guys this last night, but on Lock It In, we've been having James Harrison on as a guest, right? And so I got in the elevator last night with James Harrison, and I was like, hey, James, you know, Clay Travis, you come on the show with us. And he looked at me. Literally the first thing he said was, you look a lot better on television. And I don't know that I've ever had a more devastating one sentence delivered to me than James Harrison delivering that right now.
That's when you deliver your knee to his groin.
Yeah, I know. I told him that I wanted him to body slam you on the show at some point. So, Chip, how did this get set up, Chip? When did this decision that you were going to fake the heart attack happen?
Craig, not Chip.
He's an actor from Atlanta, Clay.
Yeah.
So this entire thing is all set up.
Oh, absolutely.
Everything.
I was just walking down the street, and they said, hey, you want to do something fun? And I said,
You don't even have a radio show. It's all
I don't have anything.
I don't even know what's true now. So they set me up that much, that far out in advance?
Yeah.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, unfortunately, yes.
Long
this
time
is amazing.
What were you thinking when you saw
Were you ever
going to
do anything?
My first thought was, I can't believe that Eric Shanks put this guy on the show and he just died. This is going to be on the president of Fox Sports. This isn't my fault that he died live on the air. If you put a dead man on the air, it's on Shanks. That's my first thought. My second thought was, we got to go to break. And then I was like, but I don't want to go to break too early of the dead man. Like, no. So I was like, I had no,
no
idea what
you guys.
I don't know that I've ever been pranked this good ever in my life. Honestly.
All right. Well, we can do it again in another way.
Yeah, what we have in store next year.
Yeah, right. You ain't seen nothing yet.
How many people out here now standing around knew this was happening? Everybody and nobody. No. I should have known when Dixon got here this early that something was up. Charlie Dixon and Witt are here early in the morning. I should have known that something was going on. Well, I was jotting down notes. I'm like, he's been a Rams manager, equipment manager, 53 years. I'm like, it seems a little crazy that they'd want to film this for next year's Super Bowl. But you know what? I don't ask questions. I just do whatever I'm told.
And we knew that was going to be the case, so that's why we did this.
Well, first of all, thank you guys for getting up. And by the way, this is a good time to promo our show. Lock It In is on every day at 4:30 Eastern. We got a television and we got a picture. I'm assuming we'll probably run. Yeah, I'm assuming we'll run some of this on the show today. And this is a hell of a time. And but by the way, while I got both of you guys on, Rachel Bonetta and Cousin Sal, how for people out there who haven't watched the show, I'll start with you, Sal. What would you tell them? Like, this is great because you guys are not usually up this early. You just had to get up early to humiliate me. But now that you're there, what would you tell people about why to watch the show?
I would tell them to continue to not watch. I mean, their lives are probably fine. Right? What are they going to get at? No, it's an entertaining group, and we have fun, and we're informational sometimes. And we have our 100th show today. Can you believe it?
Yeah, it's a big deal.
100 show.
We've laughed.
Yeah, I didn't know we would make it to 100. Bonetta, you are the second best looking person on the television show since I've been getting makeup this week. How has that really kind of impacted your life to not be the best looking on the show for a week?
Okay, well, first off, I won this by a mile, a landslide. No, this show is super fun. I always describe it by saying that I just laugh for an hour every single day, usually at you because you're terrible. I'm not sure how you guys pass on this show. But, no, it's a ton of fun. Even for people who are not super into gambling, I think that they would enjoy it.
Yeah.
I don't think there's any doubt at all. Now, why is Furman not involved in the prank?
Furman wouldn't wake up this early.
Yeah.
Yeah, so it's well said.
Just beauty rest.
He's upside down. No one wants to disturb him.
Sal, I was close to Roger Goodell while I was down here, and I thought about serving him with our lawsuit over our defeat in the Saints game where we lost $60,000 nearly between the two of us.
Right.
But I didn't quite get close to him.
Did he apologize? He was supposedly is apologizing to everyone who was affected. So that was
He has not yet apologized to me. I was hoping that my phone was going to ring and I was going to look down. It was going to be Roger Goodell. He's going to say, "I'm sorry that your wife can now buy anything that she wants because you lost $30,000 on this game," but that's that has not happened yet. It's funny, like one of our staff back in L.A. all fell for it too, right? Did they know? Did the people in the radio in L.A.?
Our Nashville phone screener did not know about this.
Yeah, like he just put in the G-chat, no way. Like we thought we had a dead man on the show.
And Twitter is blowing up right now. The listeners all thought the same thing.
I didn't know what to do. I mean, I can't wait to watch the video to see face.
Your
like,
face
the,
is pretty amazing.
Yeah, priceless. Priceless.
And I was thinking, like, when he first touched his arm, I'm like, this is what the symptoms are for a heart attack. But surely he's not going to have a heart attack and just go down right here.
He was delivering a blood bank guarantee.
Well, that's how I felt on many of my gambling picks and a lot of other people who have taken the gambling picks, too, as well. This is incredible. I just want to get off the air now so I can watch the video of this and see what it actually looks like. How long have you guys been
wash anything for you? I know.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah. That was going to be an awful, awful interview too. I was like, this is not that, like Shapiro who runs Fox Sports Radio. I was like, is this guy going to be okay on the air? And he's like, he's 90, but he's got incredible stories. And then when he's talking about making room for the groin for some guy I don't even know, I'm like, this is really already kind of gone off the rails.
What's your real name and how long have you been an actor?
My real name is Craig Folks. I've been acting on going on 7-8 years.
So when did they contact you and say you have to have a pretend heart attack live on the radio? Like how long – when did they reach out to you?
A week ago.
A week ago. Yeah, I want to hear the story of how you guys set this up, Bonetta and Cousin Sal. Like when did you guys have the idea we're going to have somebody fake a heart attack on the air with Clay?
Well, we kind of had it like a month ago, probably.
Yeah.
Lightning struck Sal and I at the exact same time. And then we started the process looking for an actor kind of about a week ago. And we got Craig to actually do a heart attack for us on Skype.
He was Skyping heart attack on Clay. And we're very impressed.
It looks great. So we were like, you're hired.
And then you got literally the president of Fox Sports to text me this long, detailed explanation about how could I fit this guy in, because it would be great for Fox and the stories would be great for the Super Bowl next year. And I'm like, yeah, sure, you know, we'll make it happen. Just took advantage of my good nature and the fact that I just bend over backwards to do whatever is necessary.
It worked.
And then put a man on the stage to have a fake heart attack.
Right. You didn't exactly do whatever is necessary, because he would have died right there.
What was the best case scenario for you guys for how I should have, like, if you could have sketched out my response, what would you have wanted me to do?
I would have liked you to have soiled your pants in a way that Chip here would have had a wash.
Oh, man. And now I have to go find the fab and all that. Oh, man.
I was trying
Look
to figure
for you, Chip. Oh, man. Chip would do that.
Yeah. This is incredible live radio, because I was thinking this is going to be the most difficult interview I've ever done, because this is not very good stories. And then the guy started talking about pain in his arm, and I was like, uh-oh, this is not going ideal. So you guys came up with the idea a month ago, and then you pitch it, and everybody's like, oh, yeah, that makes total sense. We'll hire a guy to fake a heart attack.
Everyone was on board right away. Yep, everyone was on board.
Yeah, this is an expensive prank, and very early in the morning. So
it was great. I enjoyed it.
In all seriousness, this is amazing. Well, and if you're not watching Lock It In, you truly never have any idea what's going to happen. They
know.
Just took advantage of me here early in the morning. I can't wait to do the show this afternoon, and I also can't wait to see what this is going to look like. What else do you guys want to say since you're up so early? I'm actually thankful that you guys have actually come on the show for the first time.
I know. It's nice. I don't want to say anything. I want to say goodnight.
Yeah,
go
I
want
to go
sleep.
Back to bed.
All right. That's outstanding. Yep. Cousin Sal, Rachel Bonetta will be live.
Love
4:30
you, Rachel.
Eastern. Oh, yeah. Dan, wait, hold on. Yeah. Bonetta, Danny G is in love with you. But you know,
see you.
But you know what happened also, Bonetta? When Alex Curry set in, he asked me about Alex Curry, too. So
true.
I don't know what's going on here. He may be a little bit not as enamored as I thought.
No, it's just two of my favorites happened to be on the same show.
Oh,
so they
go.
Got the perfect fill-in for Rachel.
Yeah, that's a good answer. All right, I will talk to you guys this afternoon. Incredible job. That is the best I've ever been pranked, I think. It's Rachel Bonetta and it's Cousin Sal. Go back to bed. I'll see you guys later.
Bye, Rob.
See ya.
They are awesome. And if you have not watched our show yet, I mean,
I swear to God, you almost had the heart attack.
I didn't know what to do, in all honesty. I mean, I've had a lot of different things go on live on the radio, but when he started touching his arm, and you knew about it?
Yeah.
You knew this was going to happen.
Yeah.
But you were actually
a
pretty good actor, because I was looking at you trying to think, like, what should I do? You're the producer. You should be in charge of heart attacks.
Yeah.
And
I gave you the quizzical look, and I was even like, Clay, like, what do we do? And I was motioning for help. So we all rehearsed.
Really good acting. I want to go to break now because I want to see what my reaction was, because I was like, I don't know what I'm supposed to do.
Be sure to catch live editions of Outkick the Coverage with Clay Travis weekdays at 6 a.m. Eastern, 3 a.m. Pacific.
We are joined now by Ryan Shazier, a guy that I know many of you are rooting for. Fabulous to see him here on Radio Row as he gets set in here and puts his headset on. We talked with one of your teammates, Cam Hayward, in the hour one, and Ryan Shazier has got his headset on now. First of all, how are you feeling?
I'm feeling great. You know, every day is getting a lot better. You know, just trusting the Lord and just constantly working. You know, some days I might be a little too tired to do some rehab, but other than that, I'm just constantly pushing, and I have the right team around me.
So your attitude has been incredible since the injury. Did you ever have any dark times at all? Because publicly you've been so positive. There had to be moments where you were like, why me? How did this happen? But your story has been so compelling.
So it's crazy because at probably the darkest times that it would be for most people, I try to bring the most light to it. And then so like the moments that I was actually doing a lot better, that's when I would actually have some dark times. Like it was moments where I'll go to a facility and I started just crying before I do a workout because I'm like, man, I don't feel like I'm making the recovery I'm supposed to be making. But if you think about it, that the week before, I'm walking with a cane, but now I'm not walking with a cane. So it's just like I'm making the progress, but sometimes it's still you have to just really dive in and just look back. Hey, this is where you were at. So you have to really focus on and like, all right, I'm doing so much better than I really thought I was.
One of the truly inspiring moments was when you made a trip back to Pittsburgh and they put you on the Jumbotron sitting in the suite there. What has the response of the city of Pittsburgh been like for you and your family?
Oh, it's been amazing. I'm truly thankful that I got drafted to Pittsburgh and then just being part of the Pittsburgh community. And I'm happy to call that place home, you know, because the people there is just they treated me like I'm family. And honestly, and they've been treating my family as the same. And just to see the support that I've been having at when I go to hockey events, when I go to the football events, and just even when I'm in day-to-day living, it's just really amazing just to see how they really engage me, and I'm just thankful.
Take me back to the injury. When it happened, did you immediately know this is different than anything's happened to me before, or what did you think?
Yeah, it was definitely a moment like, hey, this is not something that I'm used to, you know. I was like, whoa, what's going on? You know, I thought I was just trying to make a regular tackle, and it was crazy because that was like the one tackle in my whole career I actually thought about, hey, let me try to focus on like getting my head across. Let me focus on like trying to make a safer tackle. And I think it I ended up like sticking my head out too much or something like that. And it kind of, I ain't gonna say it caused me to hit his hip, but I ended up hitting his hip. And then, you know, it definitely was a feeling that I never felt before. And now it just changed my life. So.
What do they tell you now about your recovery and your prognosis going forward?
So my doctors say I'm actually like further than they is suspecting me to be already. So he was basically saying the rehab that I've been doing, the recovery I've been doing, and the pace I've been on, that is no doors closed. So he's like, basically, you just have to keep working, keep grinding, and at the end of the day, how hard you work is a possibility if you can make it back or not.
You want to play football again.
Yeah, definitely.
I mean, that speaks to how much you love the game, that even after all of this, you would give up a lot to be able to come back.
Yeah, definitely. I try to tell people still to this day, at the end of the day, just because I got hurt doesn't mean I lose the love for the game of football. Like I told people before I got hurt, I was like, man, hey, I love football so much, I'm willing to die for football. And I probably should have used my words a little differently. But
yeah.
At the end of the day, honestly, I just care about the game, man. And I really feel like the game's taking me places that I never expected to go. And I just been pinning my everything into it. And I felt like I was the best linebacker in the league. And I don't want to come back and leave that as my legacy. I feel like I still have so much to show.
We're talking to Ryan Shazier, injured Pittsburgh Steelers star linebacker. What has Mike Tomlin been like for you through this process?
Oh, man, Coach T, he's been such an amazing supporter and coach and motivator. You know, it's crazy. Him and Kevin Colbert, they push me like no other. There'd be some days I'm like, man, I'm tired. They'd be like, man, you got some more. You keep going. You keep going. And at the end of the day, I know it helps me, but it also helps them, you know. And just to see that, like, it motivates my coaches. It motivates the GM. It motivates Mr. Rooney and my teammates. It really helps me out so much just to keep pushing. And me and him have regular conversations all the time. It can be about football. It can be about life. And even when it comes to rehab, they constantly checking in. And it just feels good just to know that they're there to help me out.
Who are you here with?
I'm here with Undeniably Dairy. And we have a campaign just letting everybody know that dairy is just an important meal that everybody should have in their day-to-day life. Like me and my family, we have some type of dairy every day. Me and my son wake up every morning, have a glass of milk or chocolate milk, and I know watching the Super Bowl, we're gonna have some chips and nacho cheese, you know. So, you know, dairy is just a big part of our life, and I feel like it was great just to have be part of Undeniably Dairy.
How old are your kids?
So I have a 3-week-old.
Oh wow!
Yeah, and I have a 4-year-old. So. Yeah, it's like I'm a brand new daddy again.
So. Yeah, so I've got 10, 8, and 4, so I know that feeling a little bit. But what's the 4-year-old been like watching you recover?
Oh, it's amazing because at first it's like he didn't really know what was going on.
Yeah.
It just sometimes it's like it was kind of cool because he'll be like, hey, daddy, like, do you need me to get your canes? Or do you need me to get your wheelchair? Like, I remember one time I wanted to play with him. He's like, do you need your cane? I'm like, Dad, I don't need my cane no more. We can play regular now. And then now it's like now I can play with him more, and now
yeah.
I can run around with him more. And it's kind of funny. It's like when I try to jog, he'll try to jog with me. So he's like, man, your daddy, I'm faster than you, and things like that. But honestly, it's just amazing just to have him in the process.
Well, we're rooting for you, praying for you. Good luck, my man.
Thank
Ryan
you so much.
Shazier.